We do not need a handful of people living zero waste perfectly. We need millions living it imperfectly.
Hi guys, we're your hosts Jillian
and Kaylin,
and this is Teach Me How to Adult,
a podcast on all the things you never learned growing up, like how to buy a home, manage stress, crush your love life, land your dream job,
and how to love yourself more, because we could all be a little kinder to ourselves.
We're still figuring out how to get our shit together, so we're calling in the experts and the hustlers for some real talk and legit tips on how to live your best life.
Adulting isn't easy, but we got you.
Hi friends, we are so excited about today's episode because it's just in time for Earth Day and we're chatting about something both of us have sort of been trying to be a little bit more mindful of over the past few years, and that's how to be more sustainable and eco-friendly. And we sat down with the oh-so-fabulous Jules Grieve to get an honest, realistic, and straight-up sustainable approach on how we can all be more eco-friendly in our everyday lives. Side note, we're both so sick right now, so if we sound dead inside, that's why.
We are excited. We're just sick. We absolutely love Jules, A, because she's just life goals and we're obsessed with her, but B, because she makes sustainability so approachable. And before now, it just always felt really overwhelming, and it honestly made me kind of feel like shit when it was ever brought up, because I could just only think about all the things that I've been doing wrong environmentally and how hard it felt to like correct all of the things that I probably do wrong. But Jules really coaches people to make easy, doable changes and then to hone in on what your thing is that you can really stick to make an impact, because we can't do everything. In any facet of our lives, we cannot do everything perfectly. So I just love her approach that like just figure out your little realm of change.
Yeah, because I think that's what holds a lot of us back. I think it's like really daunting and overwhelming when you think about being sustainable and more green, because it can feel pretty hopeless or pointless even if you're like, okay, well, me recycling this little thing is not actually going to make a huge difference. But it does. And we're not looking at the bigger picture when we think like that. And if we all do our part and do something small and hone in on your thing, those small actions compound to have a massive impact on the world.
What's been really game changing about our chat with Jules is that it's the first time I've really linked environmentalism with like the psychology behind habits that we try to implement. And I think that's been like the missing link for me, and maybe for a lot of people. Like if your goal is just too unrealistic to begin with and to be consistent with, or if you don't actually believe that you can achieve it, and I think we've all done that. We all set lofty goals that we're like, there's no fucking way I'm ever going to be able to do this, but I'm just going to set it anyways. You will give up before you even start, and you'll fall off the wagon pretty damn quickly. So this new approach that Jules has helped us with is finding a few simple ways that you can lower your carbon footprint and then honing in on those things that you know you can do and not trying to do everything right all the time, because that is impossible and it will set us up for failure.
Yeah, and even if it's not like the thing that's going to have the biggest impact on your carbon footprint, but it's something that you know you can do and it's sustainable for you. Like for me, I think the biggest change I made, and I know Gabe made, was when we saw that documentary, The Minimalist, and I've talked about this like 1,000 times on the podcast, but it changed our consumption habits tremendously. So I have shopped significantly less since watching that documentary, and a lot of what we have in our home is secondhand. Like, I am the Facebook Marketplace queen, and I know you're going to laugh at me because I literally have sold all the furniture in our house over the past 2 weeks because we're redesigning and I'm doing it all secondhand, but it takes me forever. So Gabe is killing me right now because we don't have anywhere to sit. Anyways, our consumption habits after watching that were just changed for the better, because we just realized like we don't need all these things. And I think, I mean, that's a lot of just society and like Instagram telling us to buy, buy, buy. But if you take a step back and think about almost like the Marie Kondo method, like what actually brings me joy?
And even on a budget, like why are we buying so much shit we don't need when most people I know are in like financial hardship right now? So I'm very, very here for that. And for like the whole de-influencing trend that's happening of like de-influencing things that you don't actually need.
Having a meal plan and like times when you shop is so, so important. And it's helped us cut down on our food waste, because that's where I felt the biggest pain, when I was like throwing out food that had gone bad. Meal planning, grocery shopping like 1 to 2 times a week, and just being smarter with that.
That's also been one of my biggest struggles and probably like points of shame in this sustainability journey, because man, grocery shopping is really not made for people who live by themselves. Everything is in such big containers, and it's really expensive to buy small quantities. Like, buying in bulk is cheaper. So it's very frustrating because I buy the smallest amounts I can usually and still can't get through them before, like, if it's a big thing of produce, like, I just can't get through it before it goes bad. And I probably just wasn't being smart about how I was doing really big grocery shops, you know, like once every whatever 10 days. And so I'm trying to do more frequent grocery shops, buy less, only buy what I need, and go in with a plan instead of just, like, you know, buying a huge list of things that I think I might like, but really having a plan, because my food waste was so bad. I'd buy these, like, really big bags of spinach, and then, like, 3 days later they'd be muck and it would be just go straight muck in the bin. Yeah, it's frustrating.
I know.
But I think what Jules helped us with in this episode, and what you can honestly really easily Google, is ways to store and, like, contain food to prolong its shelf life. The food waste feels like shit, and there's no compost in a lot of the condo buildings in Toronto.
True.
There hasn't been any compost in mine, so I need to figure out if there's, like, a city one that I can go to. But if I'm being honest, I probably won't. That's probably not going to be the place where I'm not going to drive or walk, you know, half an hour with, like, bags of rotting food.
Yeah.
If there's no compost solutions close by. So the best thing I can do is to just really cut down on that waste and be smarter about it. Or get, like, a loamy composter, which I'm thinking of doing. We have one at my cottage, and it's a really, really great.
Smart. Yeah, composting is something we don't do either, and we should definitely be doing more of. So that's on our going to do list coming out of this episode, because it's so simple for, at least for us, there, like, we have a compost bin. We're just being lazy. Like, it's that there's no excuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have one.
And you have a garden.
We have a garden, so we're also going to start collecting rainwater, because, like, literally live in Vancouver. Like, I could sell my fucking rainwater on the internet if I wanted to. There's so much to go around.
Side hustle.
So, like, side hustle. You want rainwater, guys? Come to me. Another thing, we're so excited. We're saving up to do solar panels next year. And that's another thing that I think a lot of people are like, oh, the return on investment is, like, 30 years. But it's like, yeah, but you're – there is a return on your investment, and, like, we can use it to power our home. But that's a serious investment. Like, we've been saving up and putting money aside for that for over a year now.
If I'm being honest, like, I moved downtown Toronto so that everything would be so close. Like, I would never have to drive anywhere. Everything is so walkable. My walk score is great, and I still drive to things that are within a 20-minute walk. Like, I drive to the grocery store a lot of the time if I'm doing a big grocery shop.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways I could cut down on driving. I usually drive, honestly, A, out of laziness, but B, out of, like, poor time management. Like, I haven't carved out the right amounts of time to walk to places. So I'm like, shit, I just got to get in the car and, like, drive quickly to my workout class, even though it would be a 25-minute walk. And why wouldn't I walk? I'm trying to do a workout.
That's so, like, your warm-up. Yeah.
Exactly. Man, when I saw this stat, I was shooketh, but Americans produce 4.4 pounds of trash per day on average, and Canadians over 5 pounds daily. And Canada is actually one of the worst countries for producing waste and trash, which is per capita, which is really, really sad.
That's
five
shocking.
Pounds a day of trash per person.
It's really jarring. Yeah. Like, where does it fucking go? Where the hell does it actually go? It blows my mind.
There are a ton of bulk food stores near me, especially in Leslieville. And
yes,
there's
there
no
are.
Reason I shouldn't be going to those and bringing my own jars, considering I keep absolutely everything, like, half
true.
A quarter. Like, my actually, my waste is probably less than most, because I'm terrible at throwing things out.
You keep it all? Oh my God. It also looks so much cuter. It's very, like, aesthetically pleasing to have your like nuts in a jar. Draw your nuts, guys.
Nuts in a nuts. Jar.
Not those nuts. Not
I
those
love
nuts.
Aesthetically pleasing nuts.
I didn't mean a nut I didn't love, but that's not true. I have.
This episode has taken a turn, but I'm here for it. The other thing that I think is really easy to re-examine is just, like, to your point about minimalism, is just over-consumerism. And that's an area that I think I've been doing okay in, but I can do even better. But I've never been one to, like, keep up with the latest and greatest of everything and the latest trend. It takes me, like, 2 years to make a big purchasing decision. Like, I know people who every single time the new iPhone drops, they get it. Doesn't matter if their phone is perfectly good, they get it. It's ridiculous to be buying new things just for the sake of, like, keeping up and having the latest and greatest, and how we need to buy an entirely new wardrobe anytime a new trend happens. Like, I'm super not here for that. And I've really cut down on how much I shop. I'm also huge into upcycling things. So instead of buying a new patio set, I'm definitely going to go get a used patio set, upcycle it, make it more me, because I really love DIYing stuff.
There's a Habitat for Humanity near our house and you can buy secondhand items. And I found this epic chandelier that literally would have cost me probably $300, and it was $20. It wasn't the right color. It was silver and I wanted matte black. So I just spray painted it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It looks amazing.
And no one else is going to have that one in black.
Exactly. But although we're doing our part, we are not the experts. So we called in Julia Grieve, the accidental environmentalist. Julia is a TV personality, entrepreneur, fashion designer, former international model, no big deal, and the founder of the incredible Preloved, North America's leading sustainable fashion brand that has diverted over 1 million sweaters from landfills.
She is truly epic. She's so, so, so cool and has just the best humor and energy. And it makes sense because she is a media personality who is City Lion's eco expert. She regularly appears on global news and in Canada's biggest media outlets. And her mission is really to show people how simple changes over time can have a huge impact. And she's showing the world how we can take an eco-friendly approach to home design, health, food, fashion, and lifestyle, all in such a doable way. Teach us how to make sustainable changes, Jules. Jules, we are so excited to talk to you today. This is a really important issue that we've been wanting to do a little better on and be more educated about. So we appreciate you and your time. And we'd love to hear a bit more about your story. You've been dubbed the accidental environmentalist, and we would just love to hear your journey of how you stumbled into environmentalism.
I am the accidental. Like, it really did happen by accident. And that's sort of what I always just laugh about. It's like, so I don't know if you're familiar with Preloved, but that was my clothing brand that I started back in 1995.
Wow.
Clearly, I was five at the time. Let's figure that out. Don't try to do any math. But yeah, so I opened up a clothing store down on Queen Street West. And the idea behind it was all taking vintage clothing, chopping it all up and making new clothing, right? It was very grunge. It was all about just, you know, old rock shirts, cutting them up. The environmental aspect of the business was not at the, I had no idea. Like, who thought taking old jeans and turning them into a skirt could actually be something that was good for the planet? I just had no idea we were doing it.
Yeah.
So I always think of that this amazing offshoot to my business really happened by accident.
Yeah.
And so I've sort of taken that approach to sustainability. If you can do things sort of just naturally, you know, it would be amazing the impact that we could all have if we all were just sort of accidentally doing things. Mm. It's not as hard as it seems to be sometimes. And I think if we could sort of have this approach to it, to sustainability, I think we would see bigger, you know, improvements.
Yeah, because then it's actually sustainable. You know, it's like when we try to do
right?
huge things that are really outside of our comfort zone and that just aren't necessarily realistic in our lifestyles, then it's really hard to keep up and then we give up. And it's like with any habit, you know, it's hard to keep it going. So I love that approach.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's got to be something that you just naturally can do.
100%. And so going back to Preloved, so can you tell us a little bit more about, like, from what you've learned, that the impact that fast fashion has on the environment and so sort of how you're solving this with Preloved, and I guess what inspired you to open it in the first place too?
I am a huge thrifter. I've always been. I love vintage clothing. Like, my prom dress was my mom's, but we kind of cut it up a little bit. Even my wedding dress was my mom's that I redesigned. It's so cool. And then we redesigned my wedding dress for my sister when she got married.
Wow.
And so I keep saying to my daughter, you better get married on a beach because there's no original fabric left. We're going to make a little bikini for you.
It's a bikini dress.
Yeah, because there's nothing left. It's all been chopped up. But yeah, so I've always loved vintage clothing, but I've loved it from a fashion point of view. Everything in fashion is cyclical, right? Like, I used to, before I started Preloved, I was a model full time, supermodel. Didn't really hang out with Naomi and Cindy that much, but I did spend a lot of time in Milan and in Tokyo.
Wow.
So that was what I was doing. You know, when I finished high school, I was internationally modeling, and I would have auditions and things like that. Like, I just remember the big one that stuck out for me was Chanel. So I had an audition for Chanel, and I'm like, How am I supposed to like look like I could wear Chanel? So I went thrifting and I found this great little sort of Jackie O suit, and I shortened it and I changed the buttons. I didn't get the job, but I looked really good at the audition. Yeah. So yes, that was the concept behind Pre-Loved, is when you wear something that is vintage, it's totally unique. You never have to worry about someone having the same piece. It's totally on trend. Whatever is in fashion right now on any runway has been done before. So you just need to find it originally, update it, change it. And I think that was always the trick with what Pre-Loved was about. It was about that updating. Like if you wear some vintage pieces, it can become almost a little bit costume-esque. And that's not what I'm about at all. I'm all about like 100% fashion.
Fashion.
Yes.
Fashion.
Oh, that's so great. And then it helps us get past this like buying whatever's in trend right now at like H&M, not to shit on H&M, but just at any kind of fast fashion store, and then immediately wearing it for one season and then now it's out of date and now I'm going to throw it out or donate it or never wear it again. So if we could get more into this habit of like sourcing and recreating items that are quality and that we actually love, like, oh my God, I used to just only shop at Forever 21 and buy like dozens and dozens and dozens of things every season that were so cheap and that were terrible quality. And like, that's what you do when you're young, but none of it stood the test of time and none of it was good quality. None of it even really looked good on me. And so part of growing up has been buying less and buying pieces that I really love and then finding ways to make them work over time and like grow with the trends.
I always say like it doesn't take anybody to walk into a clothing store and see something on the rack and buy it and look decent and look good and maybe even look on trend. But where the real art is finding what's on trend, figuring out how you can create that, figuring how you look amazing in it, and also how you can do it on a budget. And so that is how the brand Pre-Loved started. And we just grew, like we opened in 95 on Queen West. Then we grew to 4 stores across Canada. Probably, I guess, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, the environmental part of the business was so large and so many different brands. We were working with like Anthropologie, Holtz, Roots, all these big brands coming to us to collaborate, you know, so we could take their ethos and figure a way to add in a little Pre-Loved. So, you know, like Roots by Pre-Loved, I think was my favorite collection we ever did. And we used up vintage wool sweaters with the signature Roots fleece and created a whole line. It was great. So once that part started, and obviously online was taking over the world, it didn't make as much sense to have all the retail outlets. So we end up closing them. And then now we have our whole offices in our factory, which is out in Scarborough.
Oh, that's amazing.
So we still,
And everything's done in Canada too.
100%. We've never taken manufacturing out here. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know how I can communicate with somebody in a different time zone to take my drawings, my ideas, my vision. So just accidentally, it made so much more sense for us to produce in Canada. Well, the byproduct is locally made, employment, like all these things are these wonderful offshoots when you make decisions that are better for your company.
I love that.
Wow. So speaking of like accidental changes that people can sort of make in their lives, I feel like for a lot of people, it feels really daunting and sometimes kind of helpless to make some sustainable changes in their lives when the world is in such a state of crisis. There's that new Apple show. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's all about like what's going to happen in the world in like 30 years from now in the environment. It's just like, it's terrifying. So do you know some ways that people can make small, simple changes, you know, sustainable swaps from everyday products that they use or their habits? Like, what have you done that you think would be really easy for people to follow?
I think the first thing to really believe, understand that I've been talking about sustainable swaps, like let's just get the, you know, get the plastic out of the shower. Let's go with the shampoo bars and all these like awesome, awesome ideas. But I think now, especially when you're talking about like Apple TV is on and then like the UN came out with this whole thing about by kids that are in kindergarten now are going to be like dead. I don't know, not dead, but it plans to be so bad. I guess it's brutal, right?
It's
so,
depressing.
The big thing is to truly believe that these little things we're doing is making a difference. And that's sort of become my message over the last like year and a half, because before people were like, oh yeah, that's such a great idea. But then you do it 3 times. You're like, really? You know, you watch this show and you're like, really? This isn't doing anything. And I'm here to say, it is.
Yeah.
It truly is. And for every bit of press that comes out for negative, there's awesome stuff that's happening on the positive. And I think it's so important that individuals believe that we can make a difference. And once you start believing that, you're like, I'm so excited to not use paper towel. I'm not going to, you know, and you get really into it and you're finding the different swaps and you're going to continue to do it. But if you start to think what you're doing isn't making a difference, well, then you'll stop.
Yeah. It won't be sustainable itself. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really important. So like easy ones, like I always say, like look at plastic. Just take a look in your shower, how much plastic is in there. It doesn't have to be. There's great shampoo bars. There's great old fashioned bars of soap.
Yeah.
You know, things like that will work as well. Look at plastic around kitchen sink, right? Can we get, you know, a dish soap bar, you know, things like that. Something just as simple as looking at that. We don't need to have like a PhD in environmental science to sort of go, maybe I don't need as much plastic in my house.
Yeah.
And everyone can kind of also have like a thing. I've just kind of noticed that like my brother-in-law, his thing that he's doing is he's vegetarian 5 days a week and 2 days a week he eats meat. And that has been huge for him in what he wants to do for the environment. And my friend's mom, her thing is now she sews, she takes old clothing and sews like fabric tote bags and gives them to everyone she meets so that they don't need to use plastic bags at the grocery store. And that's like an 88-year-old woman doing this and making a difference in the community. And that's her thing. And so we all, and like at our cottage, we got one of those like composting Lumi things because we just, our whole family knows that there's so much food waste that we have to deal with. And so just being able to,
I got to get one of those Lumis.
It is.
I do not have
actually
one.
It's so good.
Is it really, does it really work like they should, like it does on TikTok?
It turns into mulch. Like it turns into mulch. It's insane. Insane. It can be really overwhelming to try to do everything, but if you can figure it like, well, what's my thing? Like I can champion this and I can champion like really changing the way I grocery shop and like going to like bulk food stores and bringing my own jars. And that's my thing. Can't do it all, but I can certainly do this. Or, you know, changing the way I shower or whatever it is, and then it doesn't feel so impossible.
It's totally, and it becomes fun and it becomes second nature. And if you do your thing, I do my thing, you do your thing, and all billions of us start doing our thing, you're going to start to see everything will start to shift.
I agree.
It really inspires other people too. Like my sister-in-law stopped shopping at retail stores and she strictly thrifts, and she looks amazing. Like she has the coolest stuff.
That's
amazing. And she's Gen Z, so she's very trendy. But she'll wear like an like someone's old like work trucker jacket that's like leather on the sleeves and there's like mixed materials. And I'm like, you look so cool, but I would never be able to find that, pull it off the rack and be like, yeah, I could wear this. But she does it. But I'm inspired. So we're trying to thrift a little bit more too on our end. But to your point, like the more we all do our part and kind of share what we're doing, I think it will inspire other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. It's fun. I did a no buy challenge all through January. So I didn't buy any clothes. I bought toilet paper.
Yeah.
I like, didn't buy anything. And I spent so much time. And my kids got so into it, which was like so fun.
Oh, that's amazing. I also love that because I feel like there's some margins of sustainability that feel really directed towards the wealthy, you know, like you have to only buy like the local groceries, like the farm to table from the local market that costs three times the amount, like the amount that No Frills does. And it can feel a bit like, how can we afford to do this? But really, that's not always necessary. Yeah. You can just consume less. And like a no buy month, if you're on a budget, like you're winning, you're helping the environment and you're saving money, and anyone can do it rather than being like, okay, I'm going to go and only buy these beautiful wood handcrafted toys for my children because they're sustainable. It's like, well, that's like hundreds of dollars. And so that's not achievable for everyone, but maybe we don't need to buy 100 toys for them. Maybe we could just buy a few. And so the minimalism or just like cutting back a little bit, I think is overlooked as a way that we can make a big difference, because it's very much thrown in our faces that we have to like buy expensive things in order to be able to be sustainable. And it's like kind of like we need to de-influence that idea. Are there any areas of our lives that you think or have seen kind of have the biggest impact on lowering our carbon footprint? Like, is it travel and transportation? Like how much we use our cars?
Yeah, I think walking is one of those huge things. There's a stat, I didn't have all my stats ready, ladies, but there's one something about, I think it's like 85% of all car rides are less than a 15-minute walk.
Wow.
Whoa.
So it's like just something, you know, people say, how do I be more sustainable? Like get out and walk. Yeah. So that's one for sure. For me, I always find, again, maybe it's like your thing, like we spoke about before, but for me, I always find local is such a huge impact. Yeah. And it's, you know, I am an entrepreneur, I am a business person. So the idea of local just spins off so much things, right? Yeah. You get, it raises your economy, it raises, you know, so everything from manufacturing local to shopping local to spending time local to walking local. That's something that I find has a great impact.
We talked a bit about like reducing single-use plastics in the shower, in your kitchen, but are there any other tips that you have for just like the shocking amount of waste that we produce on a daily basis and how to cut it down? I really noticed when I moved out of an apartment into a house just how much waste my family creates, because instead of just throwing it down the chute and not having to deal with it, I now like collect my garbage on a weekly basis and have to move it to the curb. And I was just like, this is a problem. We need to fix this. So would love to know what like you've done or any tips that you have on how to reduce just the waste that's happening.
One of the things that I focus on a lot and I talk to my kids about is that whole idea of wish recycling, right? Like you just get something and you throw it in the recycling bin and you're like, oh, I feel so good about my life. It's like, actually, no, you don't. Because only 9% of what's in that bin, that's a stat I actually know, only 9% of what's in that bin actually gets recycled.
Really? Okay?
The rest of it's going to end up in landfill. So you need to like, again, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer here, but I'm just, people sometimes think it's like, oh, I'm doing my part. I'm like, and you put your blue bin to the street and it's full. So start at the beginning, start looking at what you're purchasing. Like one of the things that ever lasts me, like I never, and my kids are like, oh my God, mom, please. I never throw out glass jars. I just don't throw them out.
Ever. Me too.
Ever. I have so many, but I use them for glasses. So I don't buy glasses. I don't buy wine glasses. I have my, you know, fancy glasses that I serve, but we just use them for glasses, for vases, for food storage, like for bulk shop, like every single thing. So I buy products that are specifically either in a glass jar or in compost packaging or, you know, that kind of stuff. Like I truly look for the way that I purchased the product in the beginning, when it comes into my home, how's it going out?
Right. The compostable packaging is great too.
Yeah, totally. Just really just looking at that sort of stuff. And when you actually start to look at packaging, that's when you're going to get like crazy. Like it's just like things will start to drive you crazy. You're like, really? Why is that toilet paper wrapped in plastic? Why? Yeah. Like, why could it not just be paper that we could put into the compost bin? You're like, we live in an awesome country where we have like 71% of Canadians. Listen to me, I sound so smart. But 71% of Canadians have access to commercial composting, right? Yeah. We don't all have to live on farms to compost.
Right.
Like you can put so many things in your compost bin, you know? So packaging should be able to go in those, you know, municipal breakdown, you know, those kind of compost bins.
Yeah.
And that 9% stat, are we recycling wrong? Like, is it because we don't, that's just literally how it is.
There is absolutely, yes, there is, that's wrong. Everything needs to be washed, rinsed, right? Mm. And so if some dude left the peanut butter into the jar and it gets mixed up with yours,
and
the whole batch is done. But the other part of it is just the true level of it. Right. And what you want to do is, there's also types of plastic that break down better than others. So on the bottom of anything you buy, if you've seen those little arrows, right? And it'll have a 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the level of how easy it gets to get recycled. So if it's got a 7, it doesn't have a chance in hell. It's going, like black plastic always has like, has a recycle sign, but has like a 7 on it. You're like, yeah, whatever. So try to buy things that are in 1s and 2s. That'll have a better chance. But again, if the dude with the peanut butter left his peanut butter in, it's going to ruin everybody's. So yeah. So it is a little bit of how we do it, but also that pure amount. So, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that we can, as consumers, have such a voice. You start buying the stuff that's not in number 7 plastic, who the heck's going to stop? They'll start using it.
Yeah.
They're going to start losing sales.
Okay, I would love, this is not sponsored. I wish they would sponsor us. But this vitamin supplement company I've been using called Care Of, they give you your daily supplements in this little packet that's completely compostable. And there's no plastic containers. You get it in a compostable, like paper box thing. And then each little packet you can take with you and then you can compost it. And it's like, it's so smart. And I will never go and buy vitamins in a plastic bottle again. because this is just why would you? You
can do this. Yeah, well, that's it. That's the kind of stuff. So, you know, really looking at what you buy and thinking of how you're going to get rid of it before you throw it to your grocery cart, before you throw it into the cart online. Like, I mean, there's different online shops that I won't shop at because of how they package stuff.
True. Yeah. Amazon is the worst for that. It's like, I'm this small thing in two huge boxes. Are you kidding
me? It's so bad. I do love what you were saying though about upcycling too. Like, one thing that I've loved to do is, like, you know those like little serum bottles, that little glass serum bottles?
Oh yeah.
I'll rinse them out and use them as like tiny little vases, and it actually looks so cute. It's just like a nice little thing. Yeah, or that's like in your powder room, if you don't have a lot of counter space, just like a little vase.
Oh yeah, candles, so nice. Those beautiful candles that come in these lovely things, and then they're gone, and then so many people throw out or recycle the containers, but that container can now be like washed out with hot water and like used for like your cotton balls or your whatever, your loose change.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of brings us to this idea of like functioning in a circular economy, which we've been like researching and really looking into. And it seems really out of our reach in the Western world because consumerism, and because that's, we have no control over how things are manufactured and they're created to break so that we buy more. And it feels like we're just stuck here. But I think there are ways we could create more of a circular economy within our communities through what you've done with your company and through like repairing something instead of just throwing it out and getting a new one. Because I'm so guilty of that. Like, my outdoor patio furniture, a chair broke, and it's like, oh, gotta throw it out and get a new one. It's like, what if I just repaired it, you know? And so like upcycling and thrifting and like sharing things amongst your community when you're done with them, and just extending the lifestyle of what we use, I think could really change a lot. But do you have any advice or kind of experience with how we can create that circular nature?
I think, again, the idea of that circular economy, it's never going to be perfect. Never going to be perfect. And if we worry too much about it, then again, we won't do what our part is. Because I've been working with some brands and we're looking at doing like a take back program so that, you know, you could bring back your old sweatshirts into the stores or whatever it is, pants, whatever, and then pre-loved or whatever, we would upcycle it into the. But one of the problems, brand will remain nameless, but one of the problems that stopped the project was they don't want to use the word circular or whatever, because the products, when they were originally made, were made maybe from cotton that wasn't done. And I'm like, oh my God, they were stopped here?
Yeah.
You have a ton of crap
somewhere
out in the world. Yeah. Take it back, make sure it doesn't end up in landfill, and do that part. Like, you're stopping an amazing product, like an amazing program, because you're worried that maybe somebody's going to say X, Y, and Z, and how you actually made your sweatshirts or jeans or whatever it was. So, yeah. So that kind of stuff gets me so mad. I know that's corporate, and I know that they've got so many things to worry about, but we as individuals cannot let that bug us. So if you're going to the thrift store and you're like gravitated to the H&M dress because it's the right color, and you think, oh, I don't buy fast fashion, and if I keep buying whatever, get it, wear it, wash it well. Like, I always say fast fashion is fast if you make it fast, right? Like, that's what I'll say to my daughter. She's 17. She likes to go shopping. She likes to thrift, but she likes stuff as well. Yeah. We go through it. We look at the price point. Where are you wearing it? How long are you going to wear it for? Give me the four events. Okay. If it's on your floor when I come home, I'm going to lose it. Don't throw it in the washing machine. Let's have a huge discussion about how we wash this, because it'll fall apart the first wash, you know? So, but I let her buy it. It's a great brand that she likes. Her friends are wearing it, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to be, there's got to be some give and take in it. And I think that's the thing with circular economy. It's such a big word, and we all want to do it like the right way, but it is not going to be perfect. So if we let go of perfect, then we'll be great. You know, that's the other quote I always use. It's, what's her name? Anne-Marie Bonneau. She's the zero waste chef. I love it. Is that we do not need a handful of people living zero waste perfectly. We need millions living it imperfectly.
Yes.
So get out and be imperfect about your sustainable choices, but at least make sustainable choices.
That's so perfectly put.
I really like that. That reminds me of like people who set out this is a weird example, but like fitness goals, if you fall off the bandwagon, people are like, fuck it. I'm just not going to keep working out. But like, totally. No, it's totally. Small.
So be the bank chips now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let perfect. Don't let perfect be the enemy of great or good. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
You mentioned washing, like how you wash clothes to maintain them, which actually is such a good point that I hadn't thought about it, because that's such a good way to prolong the life cycle of the items that we have. And I struggle so much because like jeans, I never wash my jeans. And I saw you did a video on Instagram about like hacks with jeans to prolong between washes. But do you have any other like laundry tips? Because I'm just like a sweaty gal and I feel like I need to constantly be laundering my shit.
That was one of those that got so much controversy about this. And then I even saw something on the Today Show today talking about how often you wash your clothes. First of all, people wash their clothes way too often. Yeah. Like way too often. You try something on, you throw it on the floor, and then it goes into the wash. Mm-hmm. So besides, like, again, I look at it from the prolonging of clothing, but you know, and then again, by accident, we're saving all this water. So, you know, what really looking at how you care for your clothing is great. Again, when they talk about the fashion industry being one of the most like, you know, polluting industries to the planet, remember that thing when they said it was like came second after oil or something
like that.
But a lot of it that stat comes from post-consumer care. That's why it's such a big one, because everybody buys clothes, right? So then everybody washes clothes and everybody does stuff and everybody uses, you know, so that's why
the whole cycle,
that the industry got so big, you know, as an industry of polluting. Yeah. So when you get your clothing home, care for them. So what do I do? Okay. I don't wash that often. I literally still haven't even washed the clothes from my trip from Miami. I'm still sitting over there. So sometimes it's a stall tactic, so I don't want to do the laundry. But
I'm a great procrastinator, so that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So anything that is not well made, anything that is, you know, whatever, if it's fast fashion or something fun, I literally will never put it in the washer. I will wash it by hand and lay it flat to dry. Any of those, like, you know, Dynamite Scores or something like that my doctor got. I'll be like, memes, do not put that, mix it in, because it's going to fall apart. And then, you know, then what?
Which is so funny, because it's like the reverse of how I've been doing things. And it makes so much sense. I like hand wash all my really nice things. And then I throw all the crap things in, the poor quality things in the washing machine. And I'm just probably filling them with holes and like ruining them.
I mean, the fabrics, a lot of the fabrics are really not great fabrics. I mean, you'll find that. So they just don't, they won't last through like any kind of like cotton sweaters, you know, mixed with a in the yarn. I don't even know what they use. It's just the whole shape's going to be gone once you throw it to the washing machine.
Yeah.
So I like wash those by hand, lay them flat to dry. I hardly ever wash my denim, like hardly ever. Tops, I get at least 2 to 3 wears before I'd wash a top. Bottoms, again, like a skirt. I don't know.
I never wash stains
on it, maybe, but it just goes back, hangs. I do a lot of steaming. Like I'll steam things, because the steam is also will take out the wrinkles, and then it's also, you know, whatever.
It freshens it up.
So I do a lot of that. And then the other one is as well, people again argue all the time, but freezing. If you're worried about any kind of bacteria, freezing does kill bacteria. But then people say, oh, the common freezer can't do it. You know, all this kind of stuff. But
everyone's got something to say about something, right?
Everyone's got something to say.
But that's so key. Denim is hard, but I've noticed that. So I like to thrift my like good denim. Like I'll get vintage Levi's or things like that from the thrift store. But any fast fashion-y denim that I've bought is the worst. Like I wash it once and it's like the baggiest pair of jeans. Thank God that's in style now. But the freezing I find has been amazing. So if anyone is really debunking that, give it a try before you knock it, because it's a great way to preserve your denim.
It totally is.
So I would love to chat about food hacks, because I feel like food waste is a big problem nowadays, and just with the overall price of food right now, do you have any like tips on how we can preserve what we're buying, both for the environment but also for our wallet sake?
Yeah, absolutely. Food waste is the biggest problem. And again, it's one of those that I talk about all the time, because in Canada, the food waste, the majority of it, over 61%, happens in our house. So it's not restaurants. It's not grocery stores.
Wow.
It's us that bring home stuff and throw out. So it is a big problem. one of the tips that I've gotten more into, again, it's a little harder, but I try not to do big grocery shops. I have 3 kids, and I used to like do my grocery shopping at 4 in the morning with 24-hour grocery stores and like pile up the cart and then do all that. Yeah. My guys are older now, so it makes it a bit easier, but I find if I can, and I'm a very busy person, if I could find the time to get to the grocery store once or twice a week, twice or even twice to 3 times a week, it's a lot better. I mean, that's, you know, the way, again, by accident, that's the way it used to be done, right? You go to the market every day. And you get what you need for supper. So that is one thing, if you can sort of find the time to split up your groceries, because then you'll just get less, you'll be buying more like meal specific. And then like really good hacks, like lots of this, you keep your herbs in water. So it's your herbs looks like a garden. So I have all those jars that we've saved now are in your fridge filled with herbs. So they work like plants. Avocados in water is another awesome one.
Ooh. I love that hack you posted about avocados, because I live alone, so I find it really hard to buy produce and consume it before it goes bad. And then with avocados, like, it's cheaper to buy them in bulk, but then you have 5 avocados all ripe at the same time, and then the next day they're fucking like ready for the bin.
Gone.
So please tell us about that hack.
Totally works. It was one of those I was like, oh, I don't know if this, I've been doing it for years now, but literally store your avocados. But this is the trick, everyone. When it's ripe, right? So don't put it in the water when you get it home if it's not ripe. Yeah. But you know, if you got it and it's sitting, you're like, oh, squish, oh, you're perfect. Put it now in the water, and it'll stay in that state for at least a week. Sometimes they've even had it longer than that.
No way.
So smart.
And it really works. I open it up, I'm like, oh, look at you, green, not brown. Yeah, that totally works. And the other one is berries, keeping your strawberries, blueberries, raspberries in mason jars. That totally works. Ooh. That's one of my other ones that I use all the
time.
In
water or just
yeah, no, just straight. Them. Some people say to I don't actually wash them first. Some people do wash them and then wash them in vinegar. But then they've got to be fully, fully dry to go back into the jars, because then you're going to get all mush, right? Yeah. So I just like literally take them out of the plastic. If I buy them at the grocery store, I'll way prefer to buy them at markets where you don't have the plastic, but drop them out of the plastic into a mason jar and into the fridge. So yeah, that'll keep longer. Same with your like carrots and celery, store those in water. That'll help with that. Look at the other ones. Keeping the potatoes out of the fridge. Mm-hmm. Same with apples. You don't want your apples in the fridge or your tomatoes.
A lot of people put their tomatoes in the fridge.
Yeah. Okay. These tips are game changing, because I am the grocery shopping once a week girly, because I'm a mom of a 16-month-old, and I'm like, I don't have time. I'm going to do it all in one go.
I know.
And I think it's causing us to have so much food waste, because we're very ambitious when we meal plan, and we're like, this is how the week is going to go. But then the week is a shit show. Like, my daughter's been home all week sick, and like, I'm working crazy hours. Like, it's just a shit show. So I think we're causing way more waste because we're not actually buying for the situation that we're currently in, you know? So
it is really true. And it is a hard thing, Caitlin. I know. Like, I used to do it, and I had like 3 kids working full time, like just nuts. So, but I think there's things that you can look at, right? Like, is it the cereals? Is it the dry goods? Is it all of that stuff that you can buy bigger at the beginning of the week and keep your produce really less?
Yeah.
You know, trying to keep your produce twice a week, little pop in. You know, Sunday to Wednesday, and then on Wednesday, pop back in again to get all your produce.
Yeah, I like that.
I also find the freezer is like very much my friend. Well, okay. I start the process with like such good intentions, but then the freezer is also where everything goes to die and I forget about it. But if I if I followed through with my good intentions, anytime I have like fruit, bananas, berries, whatever that I can tell are about to go off, like they're super ripe and I'm not going to eat them today, then I freeze them in little packages so that I can make smoothies out of them, or like use them in something when I thaw them. And, or if I make too much of a meal prep and like too much chicken, then just like put it in the freezer, have it for later, and like pre-portion it, I find also, so that I don't have to thaw the entire amount of everything and then not be able to get through it as one person. So when I follow through, it works really well, but sometimes it stays in there forever and then it gets freezer burn. So.
But this goes back to being perfectly imperfect, right?
Yes.
Like, you're still doing your part. Sometimes we're going to mess up.
Are.
We're not bad people. We're all doing our part.
No, exactly. No green shaming. None.
No green shaming. Yes. Okay. So what about water? Do you have any tips on how we could cut back on our water consumption and just like
Water waste is another big one we talk about a lot, right? Because again, yeah. It's one of those things that we can control. I mean, I think there's like your day, like I think you should time your shower. Next time you have a shower, time your shower. Really, the average shower is 8 minutes. If you cut that down to 4 minutes, you'd save almost 40 liters of water a day. Put yourself in the shower for 4 minutes. That's a long time. That's a long time. Yeah. 4 minutes is like, I got enough time. I've done everything, done it all. So I think looking at the length of that. The other thing is too, is like washing your hair. Do you wash your hair every day? Like who washes their hair every day?
God, no.
No.
Right? So that's also, that takes up a lot of water. Oh, the other one too is washing your dishes. There's a big stat on that one, like hand washing, that you're actually better off to do a load of dishes in your dishwasher half full than to wash those by hand. The running water for dishes is more than what happens. Because the way the dishwasher works, right, it's like a certain amount of water just comes in and then it just keeps doing all the thing. It doesn't keep running it in. It just comes in and then shoots it all around and then drains it and then another bit comes in. So it's way more efficient than us running water and just washing the dishes.
That's such a good thing to debunk because I feel like that one always surprises people.
I know. Things they do in Australia too is like they keep all their shower water and use that for using watering the gardens. Like think of it, we're using drinking water for showering, drinking water for watering the gardens, full tide bathtubs, hot tubs, all that stuff is all our like top tier water. So, you know, to be able to like, you know, you have like the rain bucket outside and keep use that for gardening and things like that. And that's what they do in Australia for sure. They have a shower and you save the bucket from the water.
We have one last question for you, which is what's one thing that you wish you'd learned in school that you didn't?
You know what? So funny. This kid came to me. I wish that someone had explained a little bit more about, you have these dreams, right? Like you think your life is going to go like this. Then you do this, then you do that, then you do this. But even when you do that, there's still so much more. There's this, graduate, get married, you know, typical. No one really talks about like life when your kids are teenagers and your parents are older or when you get older. And like, there's none of this. Like, I kind of felt like, kind of went through this little bit of a dip in like, I wouldn't say it was depression, but it's kind of like, well, now what? Yeah, you know, I've got these like teenagers and like aging parents. And I'm like, okay, so, cause I kind of thought I did everything. I was going the right way. And now I'm like, what happens now? Where's the next exciting thing? Like no one's like wicked. Can't wait till I'm 80. Like there's no books about that, you know? So I don't like, I wish someone had said that, you know, just it, life doesn't end when you get to where you're going, I guess is the point. Like, it's like now I'm married and now I'm this, like, it just doesn't stop. It just keeps going. There's, you know, and enjoy every bit of it. You got a lot of life to live. So enjoy every little bit of it. And once you hit your milestones, there's like bajillions more. So keep going.
Yeah. Yes. It's almost like a mindfulness practice to learn at a young age to just like be in the moment, appreciate where you're at, and that these milestones don't determine your worth. So if you don't hit it at 30, you don't hit it at 40, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. And even if you do hit it, there's like other things that are going on. Like I kind of felt like I found like the same kind of thing. Like, you know, you get to this point, you're like, okay, well, I did everything I was supposed to do and I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
But now what? Now what's going to happen? Like, where do we go? What do we do?
Oh, I love that answer.
Oh, that's great. That warrants its own episode.
Oh, well, thank you so much. This was so like, hilarious. You're amazing. Educational, inspiring. I think hopefully everyone realistic. Can walk away. Yeah, exactly. Walk away knowing that they can do something and these little actions can make a big impact. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your tips. And everyone should check out Pre-Loved, but let us know where everyone can find you. Pimp yourself out. This is your forum.
Okay, so Pre-Loved Jewels on Instagram, and then juliagrieve.ca is my site with the accidental environmentalist and all my tips and stuff. And if you want to shop a Canadian sustainable brand, you can shop at getpreloved.com. That's where you find me. And then on CityLine.
Yes.
Love it. Yeah. For really, really entertaining, amazing segments. I love them. Yes. They're a joy to watch. You just have the best energy. So thank you for sharing it with
us. Oh, you guys are great. Well, thank you so much for including me. I'm so excited.
So there you have it, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you like what you heard today, it would mean the world to us if you would subscribe and leave a comment or a rating.
And we'd love it if you would share this with your friends by screenshotting the episode and sharing it on social by tagging at Teach Me How to Adult Podcast. And DM us with any topics or guests you'd like to hear on the show. See you next time. Bye!